Good morning.
Put on the tie. It's good to be here with you this morning. God is good, amen?
Amen.
And, you know, I know, talking to Anne and a few other people about you at a funeral here, well, Chris's funeral yesterday, and it was quite an amazing time, I understand, and God is good. And with my mother passing, I love that term, that terminology they say in the Salvation Army, being promoted. And what I do know is that Dad's now in trouble. He's had 7 years of peace and quiet. So we're gonna focus this morning. I understand last week you had an introduction on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to hopefully unpack a few more thoughts and understandings on the Holy Spirit. So I've sort of focused our worship this morning on the Holy Spirit. We've got quite a few to sing. We'll just see how it goes, okay? So let's just allow God to have his way this morning, if that's okay. Amen. Please take your seat. Let's just pray, shall we, and ask God's blessing on our time together. Father, we want to thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, as we've sung, breathe on me, breath of God, that that's what you want to do. Your word is so full of your desire to be in us and with us and on us and to have a relationship with us. And we thank you, King Jesus, for your great mercy and grace towards us. We give you praise and adoration and majesty, and we thank you that we can be gathered together here in freedom to worship you, to praise you, to spend time in your presence, to look at your word, and to allow you to have what you want to do in our lives. Lord, we open ourselves up for you this morning. Say, do what you want to do, Lord. We don't want anything. We don't want to hide anything. We can't hide anything from you. We don't want to deliberately hide anything from you. And Lord, we just say, help us and do what you want to do in our lives. We just thank you for your great mercy and grace. We bless you in this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So thinking about today's time together, there's lots and lots of verses that we could look at and spend time on. But I just thought we'd just read from... I think it's Matthew 3. I didn't write down. I've got the passage. I'll look up a sec. I'll tell you in a moment. No, it's not. It's John 16. A bit different. Matthew, John. John 16, beginning at verse 5. We're going to read from 5 to 15. And this is the words of Jesus. So they're read in my Bible. R-E-D, that is, not R-E-A-D. Okay? But now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, grief has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I am leaving. For if I do not leave, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment. Regarding sin, because they do not believe in me. And regarding righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you no longer are going to see me, and regarding judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them at this present time. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take from mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. This is why I said that he takes from mine and will disclose it to you. Amen. So I've just realised I probably read that maybe in a different version to the one that you're reading here. Is that right? Oh dear. Hopefully you were able to follow and were able to read and understand what God was saying. But we're going to think about the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're going to think about and we're going to talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit and some of those things. And we're going to come to a time of worship now. And we've got quite a few worship songs to sing. And we'll just see how it goes. And if we want to pray for people or we want to, something happens, and that's great. But we'll spend some time in worship. And hallelujah. So let's just spend some time in prayer now. Just allow God's Spirit to speak to your heart and to, you know, there's people that we do need to pray for who are sick and need to pray for their healing. But many people perhaps who need salvation, the communities that we're living in, the challenges of life. And if you've got any specific prayer needs, then people will come and pray with you. But let's just spend some time seeking God and allowing him to do what he wants to do. Father, we want to thank you that we can come to you in the name of Jesus. And we know, Lord God, that you do hear and you do answer our prayers. Father, we thank you that when Jesus went to glory, that you didn't leave us alone. And we thank you that our relationship with you is alive and real and active. And we just want to thank you that we can have that intimacy with you. We thank you that you do mould us and you do break us and you do melt us. And the challenges of life come and go. And Lord, that you change us and you moulding us more to be like Jesus. We so want that, Lord God. We so want to be more like Jesus. We so want to be filled with your Spirit. We so want your name to be glorified in our lives, lives to be transformed and changed, so that, Lord, our community is around. Father, we do pray that this building would be filled once again. But, Lord God, it will be filled for week after week after week with people seeking you, people desiring you, wanting to serve you, wanting to know you, wanting to be in your presence, having a relationship with you. We pray for Lidbrook. We pray for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit, that lives will be transformed and changed. We pray for the communities that we live in, Lord God, the opportunities that we can have to share the love of Jesus with them, share the mercy of God, share the grace of God, share the wonderful love of God. We just want to thank you for what you've done in our lives and how you continue to change us and make us different, Lord God. And Lord, we know that many times we do let you down. But Lord, we just come before you in repentance, asking your forgiveness. That, Lord God, that we would be your lights and we would be your salt and that we would show your love in our communities. Lord, help us. We do pray, Father, in these perilous times that many lives would turn to you. Lord, we ask you, we desire you to give us souls, to give us lives, to give us, see a move of your Holy Spirit, to see lives change. We ask you in the precious name of Jesus. That we share the Lord's Prayer together as we close this time of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. 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 Let's come to God's word now. And when I got the brief from Joy, it's like, oh wow, that's such a big subject. It's an awesome responsibility to come and share God's word at any time. And I know some of us here who do speak And you spend time in God's presence saying, God, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to say? Just speak to me. Speak to us. And when we start thinking and talking about the Holy Spirit, there's such a vast array of aspects that perhaps we should talk or share or discuss. I just wanted to start off by saying that as believers in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, one of his main purposes is point to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the one who came and died and rose again. He is the Lord. He is the Saviour. He is the one. One of his roles is to do that. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. He is there interceding for us. In Luke 22:69 it says this, but from now on the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. And in Ephesians 1:20 says this, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. So Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and we know that when Jesus went to and was ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us and on us. And I was reading the account of the stoning of Stephen. I don't know, when we read the Bible, do you find this, or is it just me? When you read the Bible, we can read passages and stories and accounts time after time, and then suddenly something just jumps out at you. And I hadn't seen it before. And so Stephen, when he looks up into heaven, and it says, and I can see one standing. He wasn't seated. Jesus wasn't seated. I don't know what. It's just the concept that Stephen was being martyred for his faith. And there was Jesus standing, not just seated. He was standing, watching it going on. He's mine. He is mine. He says that to you this morning. You are his this morning. And he loves you with an everlasting love. Stephen, as he was being martyred for his faith, he was standing, not seated. Not seated. He was standing because he was so overcome. He was just, I can't, the picture of Jesus standing, looking at Stephen, and Stephen looking at him. Because of his faithfulness, because he was prepared to stand for the truth of God's word. Isn't that amazing? That picture just gripped me this morning. You know, when we become Christians, believers in Jesus, followers of the way, when we are born of the, again, whatever terminology you want to use, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. It's the Holy Spirit. He comes to live within us. And we are different. We are changed. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit within them. Whatever denominational label you want to attach, it doesn't matter. Hello? Yeah. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And I understand last week you were told that this was the seal. He was the seal of our redemption, seal of the fact that we are followers of Jesus. And when Jesus went to be with the Father and sent the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit who was on the earth. He says that it's much better for me to go because I can't be everywhere. Because he was physically constrained in a physical body. Each one of us has a physical body. Jesus has a physical body when he was on this earth. And the Holy Spirit doesn't have a physical body, which means he can be anywhere at the same time. And that's the word omnipresent. Present or having an effect everywhere at the same time, which is why we can be here worshipping God and sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. And up the road, a long way, into Colford, I think. Is that the closest church? Where's the closest church? Anyway, the next closest church can be feeling exactly and experiencing exactly the same because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at the same time, omnipresent. Jesus couldn't do that. Jesus couldn't do that because he was confined to a fixed physical body. I was born again in November 1988, in Mount of Olives Church, which is a Pentecostal church. Again, doesn't matter what the denominational, is that word? Mm-hmm. Label is. And I wanted everything. I was baptized in water in May 1989, baptized in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I don't know when exactly. I was lying in bed, I know that. And just the presence of God filled the room, and it was amazing. Absolutely awesome. That's my testimony. And this morning, that was just by way of introduction. This morning, I just want us to focus on the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does. But it's not about what I share with you. This is only a very infinitesimal. This is a journey for each one of us. We are on a journey. Each one of us needs to be digging as well. Yeah? Hello?
Yeah.
On our journey. Now, I might repeat something that has already been shared. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry about that. My wife, who's an amazing woman, has to tell me things 3 times before I remember. Okay? So if you've heard this last week or before, it doesn't matter. Perhaps you need to hear it again. Like I do. Yeah, all the time. I need to hear things again. Who is the Holy Spirit? Firstly, the Holy Spirit, he is God, the Holy Spirit. Okay, and that's really important. He is the third member of the Godhead. He's just in the list. All right, he's not inferior in any way, shape, or form to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The third member of the Trinity. Now, that word Trinity is a word which is extremely difficult. Many theologians have spent decades trying to understand the concept of the Trinity, and many of them turn around and say, I still don't understand the concept of the Trinity. So if you don't understand the Trinity, you're in a good group of people. Sometimes as Christians, we're accused of having more than one God, because we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in the early church, they never needed to be explicit about the Trinity because it was understood. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God in three persons. And the doctrine of, but about the second, third century, they had to document and create this doctrine of the Trinity because of heresy. There was the main heresy was the Arian heresy, which is still around today and is quite close to where I go to church in Park End, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They follow the Arian heresy. And the doctrine of the Trinity defines one God existing, this is a bit technical, right? One God existing in three co-eternal, co-substantial, divine persons, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, and that's got a special word, hypostasis, sharing one essence, substance, nature, which has got another special word, homoousion. Okay, so I will be marking your homework. Is that fine? Is that okay, Ken? Is that? Yeah, I'll mark your homework. So don't worry about that. I just wanted to share that with you, just to say that many, many, many theologians have tried to put this into something that we can understand, and even then, when they've done it, we still don't. Amen? But it's important that, you know, and the reason why we don't understand it is because it's supernatural. Okay? And only when we get to glory, that's when we're going to understand. You know, it says in the scriptures that we see through a glass darkly, or we see as a reflection in a mirror, depending on which version you read. But then we will know. We're getting to heaven and go, oh yeah. Won't we? You know? But we will know. It's supernatural. Now, we use these analogies of the Trinity, like water. Okay? Now, that has got a special name. It's called modalism. But the concept of water being in three states, you know, when it's below zero, it's ice. When it's above 100 degrees, it's steam. And when it's not, it's water. But that's called modalism. It's not really... The best way to think of the Trinity is like a circle. Okay? One circle with three parts to that circle. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I've often used egg, but again, that's not very good. You know, you've got the yolk, the white, and the shell, three, but anyway. But this came about, as I said, because of this Arianism, which was saying that we have one God, the Father, or Jehovah, Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Spirit as an impersonal force. Now, that is the Arian heresy. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. Equally God, along with the Father, along with the Son. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, we see many examples in the scriptures of the Trinity in action. Right at the beginning of creation, I'm sure you were taught about this last week, did you?
Yeah.
Right at the beginning of creation. But also, in Genesis 1:26, it says this, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image." Not let me make mankind in my image. Let us make mankind in our image according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and over the earth, over everything crawling, things that crawls on the earth. Now, as you see, I have this argument with my friend Roger. And he says dogs are better than human beings. That's what he says. They're more important, they're better, they don't blow up the world, they don't do all the bad things, they're lovely. But as human beings, we are created differently to the animal kingdom, which is why evolution is just a non-starter. Because we are created differently. We are created. No other animal or vegetable or mineral or anything else, God says, I've created you in my image. We are created in my image. Some better looking than others. Amen? But he's created us in his image. And it doesn't mean he's got two arms, two legs, eyes, all that sort of thing. When Jesus came, he did. But he says that there's three parts to us. Mainly, there's the body, the soul, and the spirit. And when we die, that body stays in the ground or gets cremated or whatever. And it's our soul and our spirit that lives on. And when we die, the Bible tells us that there's no gap between when we die and when we're in the presence of Jesus. It's instantaneous. Instantaneous. Absent with the body, present with the Lord. Whoosh. But we have a battle going on, and we have this battle going on between our body and our spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit lives within us, and he does lots of things which I'll tell you in a minute, but he lives within our spirit. That's why when we become Christians, we don't suddenly lose 3 stone of ugly fat, do we? Do we? Might have happened to you, didn't happen to me. Yeah? We have a body, we live in a body, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Okay? Our soul, our mind, emotions, our will is neutral. You know, but it's whether Wicked Paul says, live in the spirit and you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. We're in a battle. The biggest battle we have in our life isn't people knocking on our door wanting to kill us. It's the battle we have in our mind because we do the things that we don't want to do. Paul said it. Oh, what wretched man am I? I do the things I don't want to do and I don't do the things I want to do. What a numpty. That's my version. What a numpty. Yeah? But we're in the same boat, aren't we? Amen? Come on, let's be real this morning. When the Holy Spirit... See, the Holy Spirit is perfect. Our spirit isn't perfect. Okay? It's in communion. Our spirit, that's the part of us that's in communion with God. Our flesh says, eat me, do this, do that. And we should be saying, no, I am my spirit. No, you get down. That's what it's all about. Live in the spirit and you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. Our mind, emotions and our will are neutral. We choose to do what we do. We look at the baptism of Jesus and we can see clearly the Trinity at work. In Matthew 3:13, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have the need to be baptized by you, and yet you're coming to me. But Jesus answering said to him, allow it at this time, for this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. After he was baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, settling on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, from with whom I am well pleased. So we see the Father speaking, we see Jesus being baptized, and the Holy Spirit coming as a dove. Clearly, the Trinity in action. How people can't understand, you know, as in Aaron, how they don't get it, I do not know. Anyway, it's quite clear. Body, soul, spirit, that's why we talked about being in the image of God, because we are tripartite, just as God is tripartite. Body, soul, spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Firstly, Holy Spirit is God. Okay, not an impersonal force. He is God. Secondly, he is a person. And there's many examples, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, to show that the Holy Spirit is a person and not this impersonal force. Firstly, he can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. And then in Isaiah 63 says the same, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, therefore he turned himself to become their enemy and he fought against them. You see, the Holy Spirit, he's very sensitive. He can be easily grieved, and we need to be sensitive to him. You know, we can easily do things. I mean, I've been in services where, you know, you can really sense the presence of God, the Holy Spirit moving, and then somebody says or does something, and it lifts. The presence of God lifts. When we come together, there's some experience. You see, when people say, I can be a Christian and not go to church, I say to them, I suppose, yes, you can, but you're missing out on so much. Because when we come together as church, there's a corporate presence of God. We have that personal relationship with him, but there's that corporate, as church. He wants to do stuff with you as a group. Hello? You know? You are related. You are family. We are family. I got all my sisters with me. Yeah? We are family. And he wants to do stuff with you as church. And so technically, whilst we can be Christians, and you're missing out on so much, because God wants to do so much with you as church. He can be resisted. In Acts 7:51, you stiff-necked people. That's quite strong, isn't it? Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. That's even worse. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. You see, when I said to you about us having a soul, where we have mind, where we have our mind, our emotions, and our will, we can choose. God has given us something which is so powerful called the will. We can choose. People will choose to go to hell. Not because God doesn't turn around and say, I'm going to send them there. They choose because they resist God. Because they say, I don't want it. God's knocking on the door. Behold, I knock on the door, and anybody who answers, I will come in. And he's knocking and knocking and knocking. People are going, no, I am not going to answer the door. I'm not going to do it. And we can resist him. We can resist God. He is a gentleman. He's not going to come where he's not wanted. Oh, we pray and we intercede, and we're making sure that door is getting almost kicked down by our prayers. Yeah? We want people who are friends, family, etc., to be saved. And we're praying, we're saying, God, new mate, get in there. Yeah? And God's doing what, but ultimately, the choice is ours. To choose to follow Jesus or choose to go our own way. I was listening to a podcast this morning, talking, and this guy was reading a book about Frank Sinatra. Now, Frank Sinatra wasn't a very nice man, apparently. Not that I was there or anything, but he wasn't a very nice man, and he sang My Way.
Yeah.
But at the end of his life, on his gravestone, it says, the best is yet to come. Now, for believers in Jesus, that is so true. But, and of course, there are deathbed conversions and people who are right at that last moment in time, etc. But if there isn't that, that isn't true. What he had on his grave. If there isn't that, it isn't the best to come, it's the worst. And we can resist the Holy Spirit. We can resist it. And as believers, and it's not just people who are not Christians, it's us as well who are Christians. We can resist him. We still have free will. We still have choice. Yeah? I remember that there's been times in my life, I can't give you an exact example, where God has said, I want you to go and speak to that person. I think, no, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. And you resist him. And then a day or so later, you regret it. Oh, I wish I'd done it. I really wish I'd done it. Or you hear something, you think, oh, if only I'd said something. You know? We can resist the Holy Spirit. But what God wants from us is not to complete. Obviously, he wants us to allow the Holy Spirit to have complete control. You know, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit without measure. We can be full of the Holy Spirit, but with measure, because we live in a finite, sinful. Although we are sinless, because God has made us sinless, because of the blood of Jesus, we still sin, don't we? It's all quiet here. So we do. And so we have the Holy Spirit with measure, with a limit, with a cap, with a... But we can increase that by, as we submit to God, as we allow God's control, the more we allow God's control into all the nooks and crannies of our lives that we try and hide, we try and hide from God, as we allow him to have more and more control, then we can... You know, the things that God wants us to do and calls us to do. He is a gentleman. I had a compliment this week. I took this lady, not this lady, I took another lady. Anyway, I took this lady down to Monmouth to have her to pick up some glasses. And as I do, I went with the umbrella because it was raining. And she called me a gentleman. I thought, she doesn't know. So I had that. But the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will always not go where he's not wanted. We need to invite him. We need to encourage him. We need to desire him. We need to want him to be in our services, to be in our lives, to be in our families, to be in our communities, to be wherever we go. Wherever we go, we take the Holy Spirit with us, okay? Yeah, so we're always taking that light. We're always taking that salt. We are salt. We are light. Into those dark places. There's times when we should say, no, I'm not going to go there. But many times, what happens when there's a dark place and you bring light to it?
It becomes light.
The darkness dispels. He can be insulted. Hebrews 10, verse 29. How much more severely do you think deserves to be punished? How much more do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? You know, some people use this. They say, oh, he's a person or she's a person who says it as it is. Actually, sometimes that's just rude, isn't it? It's just rude. Oh, he says it as, no, you're rude. And we can be rude. We can be rude to the Holy Spirit. And people who deny Jesus and say, no, that's are being rude. It's being rude. It's all picked up in this, oh, yeah, you've got to... If someone comes to you in church and says, you know, God's convicted, I need to come to you, speaking to you the truth in love. You think, hello, it's good, I'm going to get a volley now. Yeah? No, that is all about our humility and humbling ourselves. If we've got a challenge with somebody in our church, yes, we do need perhaps to confront them and discuss it. But you don't go there, I want my rights. Yeah, that's not what it's about, is it? But I'm telling you what you know already, don't I? God wants us. You know, the rejection of Jesus is that rudeness. It upsets the Holy Spirit. When people reject Jesus, he's upset. He feels insulted. You know, when people say it's all fake, it's all nonsense, it's all made up, the Bible is a myth, and all that sort of stuff. That's rude. That's rude. He helps us to pray. How are we doing time? Oh dear. Oh. Romans 8, 26 and 27. The same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Do you know, one of the most spiritual prayers sometimes is this. Help! You know, we're in a difficult situation. We don't know how to deal with it. We're in trouble. God, I need your help. And the Holy Spirit will pray for us, will intercede for us, will give groans. And you know, when we are feeling, I think bereavement is probably one of the lowest things that we can experience. But there's other things we can experience, other losses we experience. And we can sometimes be lying on our bed and we're just so hurt and so upset and so much in pain that we just need to say, help. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, we sang, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. And he does. And he comes. And he comforts. He can be blasphemed against. You know, if you ever worried about whether you blasphemed the Holy Spirit, because he says this, he says, and so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be, or will not be forgiven. Right? If you've ever thought to yourself, oh, I wonder if I've ever blasphemed the Holy Spirit, you haven't. Alright? Don't worry. Chillax. Chillax. Okay? Yeah? This is extremely serious. This is saying what is of God's, well, I don't know the exact, alright, so don't misunderstand me. I don't know, but my understanding, which could well be wrong, alright, I'll be honest with you here, could well be saying that this, what is of God is of the devil. He's saying, oh yeah, that's what, whatever it may be, is of God, is of the devil. Okay. I've only got another 3/4 of a sermon to go.
You'll have to come back again.
Okay, let me think. How am I going to do this now? Okay, we'll just do this bit. So, five more minutes? Right? 5 more minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
Promise, or 6 might be. The 3 main roles of the Holy Spirit, or there's lots of other things he does, but 3 of the main roles which we've read about. He's the comforter, he's the convictor, and he's the convincer. He's the comforter. The comforter in John 14, 16, which we read, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You know, that concept, he abides with us forever. Forever. It's a long time. Yeah? When the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, he abides forever. That's a promise of God. He abides with us forever. Isn't that awesome? He abides with us forever. But he's the comforter. He gets alongside us. He's the one who whispers to us. Hang on, where am I? He whispers to us. When I was in hospital in France with a heart problem, Claire, my wife, was obviously in England and she was going to fly over. And people were saying to her, aren't you worried? Aren't you? No, no, God's in charge. The comforter. God's in charge. You know, I've got a peace that passes. Where do you think that comes from? You know, he says, God will give us a peace that passes all understanding. That's the comforter. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's getting alongside us. He's got his arm around us. He's giving us a hug, or he's doing whatever we need. He is comforting us. He's the comforter. He's the comforter. And there's that still small voice. And the still small voice applies to almost every situation that the Holy Spirit, that still small voice that says, don't worry, I'm in charge. It's okay. I'm in charge. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that we hear in our still small voice. Okay, moving on quickly. He's the convictor. And he says in John 16:8, and he, when he comes, will convict the world regarding sin, can pray, and righteousness and judgment. Salvation. I remember clearly sitting, I'd already given my life to Jesus, but I remember sitting on the melting platform at Lidmere, going over all the different sins that I'd committed. Oh God, please forgive me this, please forgive me this. Now, perhaps I was a bit over the top, but the conviction of God was upon me. God convicts us. One of the challenges, I think, of our Christianity today is the lack of repentance. Come to Jesus, give your life to Jesus, and everything's going to be fine. No, we need to repent of our sin. And when we repent of our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. It's the blood of Jesus that sets us free. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. Yeah? I used to work in a newsagent's and pubs. When I worked in newsagents, I used to steal from the newsagent. I might have shared this with you already, have I? Okay. Anyway, I used to steal from the newsagent. And over the years, I stole quite a lot. And when I became a Christian, I was convicted about it. I'd repented of it. And God had forgiven me for it, but there needed to be restoration. I had to go around the guy's house, knock on his door and say, look, I'm ever so sorry, I've stolen from you. I was prepared to go to do whatever, get locked up or whatever. He said to me, well, I'm not in that game anymore. If you want to give the money to charity, that's fine. But there had to be. And once I did that, it was probably 2 years after I'd become a Christian. In fact, I was married. No, was I married? Well, yeah, I was married. So it was a few years after being a Christian. And it had come up and come up and come up. And I pushed it down and down. And it came up and up and up and down, down, down. And then I had to take some action. Finally, the convincer. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but wherever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose it to you, what comes to life. Still small voice, you're reading the Bible. And suddenly they go, oh, wow, not seen that before. Oh, yes, you have. 25 times, because you read the same passage. But it's the Holy Spirit going, and he's convincing you. He's showing you. And, we as Christians, we don't suddenly have a lobotomy, right? We don't suddenly get rid of our brains. Oh, become a Christian. So some people say, all spirit, you blow up. All word, you dry up. Spirit and word together, you grow up and go up. Okay? So we need to use our brains. Study the word of God. Understand what the Bible says. When we are talk to people in the street or wherever, we need an answer for their, what about this? What about this? What about this? We need an answer. And it's in the word of God. It's in the word of God. We study the word of God. Study to show yourself approved. To spend time in God's word. The end. Okay, quick conclusion. Every believer in Jesus has the Holy Spirit living within them. He is God the Holy Spirit. We must understand that. He is God the Holy Spirit. Co-equal, co-eternal, co-everything with God the Father and God the Son. He is a person, the third person of the Godhead. The Trinity is real. Yeah? He comforts, he convicts, he convinces. He's omnipresent, but he's very sensitive. Okay, we need to court him. We need to be gentle. We need to seek him. We need to show him. He is a gentleman. We need to ask him. Come Holy Spirit is a phrase that many people use. He needs to be invited. He doesn't come when he's not wanted. Yeah, but God says, I'm still knocking on that door. And every time I'm knocking on that door, I'm going to not come in. I'm going to come in. I'm knocking on that door. And you keep praying for that person who's not a Christian, because God is going to carry on knocking on that door. Yes, we can refuse him. Yes, we can resist him. But that door is going to continue to be knocked. Amen? Amen. Oh, last one. He's the one who whispers to you. Yeah. He's the one, the still small voice. Mm-hmm. He's the one that says, I love you. You are mine. That's what he says. Amen. Okay, I'll do the rest of it next time. Okay, we're going to sing, this song is Let Your Living Water Flow Over My Soul. I first sang this on a, is that right? Let Your Living Water?
It's the last one.
Yeah, the last one called Let Your Living Water. And it's a little bit of a talky introduction, so just ignore that bit. But I first sang this song when I was at a holiday camp. We'd gone away with young people. It was at a place called Keppenly, I think, Keppenly, in mid Wales. And it just blew me away. The group called Vinesong, just some of the anointed worship is just amazing. What we'll do, if it's okay, if anybody wants any prayer, while we're singing this song, just come and sit on the front row, and then the elders, deacons, Joy, myself can come and pray with you. Whatever the situation, you don't have to tell us, don't matter, okay? God knows. But if you want to tell us, that's fine as well. It's not an issue. You know, you're completely free. So we're going to sing this song, Let Your Living Water Flow Over My Soul. Let Your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled my mind. All my cares and burdens onto you I roll. Okay? So, we'll stay seated. No, actually, we'll stand. We'll stand this time. Because then it makes it a bit easier. If people want to come forward, they won't feel so... I don't want to shame anybody or make anybody feel embarrassed. I just want people to feel free and loved. And, you know, this is we are family, as I said. You know, just to feel included and come and do what you know God wants you to do. Amen. There's still opportunity if people want to be prayed for, but we'll pray now, close the meeting. But if you want prayer, just come forward and sit down and we'll come and pray with you quietly. Father, we just want to thank you that... Oh, you love us so much, and Lord, and we let you down so many times, yet you loved us so much you sent Jesus to die for us, and then you sent the Holy Spirit to come and be our comforter and live in us. Lord, you're just so amazing. You thought of everything, and we just want to bless you and thank you, and we pray, Lord, as we go from this place, that, Lord, that you would just help us to just tell people just about how amazing you are. And what a wonderful God we serve. And Lord, that other people can have that transformation of life that we've had. And so, Lord, help us to be lights and help us to be salt and help us just to show the love of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, you're with us. Lord, use us and do what you want to do. Lord, we give you complete freedom in our lives to do what you want to do. Father, I thank you for this church. Thank you for each person of this church. Father, I thank you for their desire to serve you. I pray, Father, for a fresh anointing upon each one, that you would bless and encourage and comfort, especially for those that have had bereavements recently, Lord God. I pray your special comfort for them. Lord, let them know the peace of God. Let them know the peace that passes all understanding. Wrap your arms around them, King Jesus, will you, by your Spirit, and let them know how much they're loved, how much they are your children. We just want to give you all the glory and praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen.